Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, concerning the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, let's continue where we left off in the book of Judges concerning what the children of Israel did and did not do. Now we saw that they followed and obeyed God whenever they had a judge who would teach them God's way, and they would follow God's way. Whenever they didn't, and they rebelled, and another generation arose which didn't know the Lord, then they left the Lord and they served the gods of the pagans that they should have gotten rid of, but didn't. We also saw that God would raise up a judge when they repented, when they said, okay, we've had enough, Lord, deliver us from our problems. God did. Verse 16 of Judges, the second chapter. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who spoiled them. Now, you'd think they would be grateful. You would think that they would want to return to God. But like too much with people, when they get into trouble, they just want the trouble to be lifted. And if God intervenes to help them out of the trouble, then they soon forget God and go on their merry old way. Well, that's what the children of Israel did. Verse 17, and yet they would not listen to their judges. But they went lusting after other gods and bowed themselves down to them. They turned quickly out of the way, because you see, the way of the Lord, the way of truth, the way of God. And remember this, in the New Testament, see, because from the Old Testament we're to learn and apply these things to the New Testament, so here's a good example. In the New Testament, John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, do you believe that and understand that? Now, let's see what happened to the children of Israel because they did not believe the way of the Lord. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, for they had obeyed the commandments of the Lord. These, however, did not do so. And remember this concerning human nature. Regardless of how good you might think it is, regardless of how right you may convince yourself that you are, there's a way that seems right to a man, also a woman, that seems right. But the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now, after they were delivered, verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, they returned and made themselves more corrupt than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. Don't we see that happening today? You want to know what's going wrong with the world today, politically, economically, and spiritually? Well, then you need to study the Bible. You need to read the Old Testament. You need to read the prophets. You need to read the New Testament. You need to understand what the Bible tells us, because I'll tell you something you need to understand, which is this. Did you know that the Bible is God's personal message to you? So that you will know how to live your life, so that you will know how to find God, so that you will know how to find the true Savior, Jesus Christ, so that you will understand repentance. Did you know that? Have you felt cut off and left adrift? Why is that? Because you've gone your own way, because there's a way that seems right, as we have covered. Now notice, why did God get mad at the children of Israel? And let's ask the question, why is God angry with the world today? Why do we find ourselves in a predicament that nothing seems to go right? Well, the answer is right here in the very next verse. Verse 20. because this nation has transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers and has not obeyed my voice. Do you obey the voice of God? Do you understand that the Bible is the recorded voice of God? Since God doesn't come down and talk to us all individually, what he has done, he has recorded it. Had faithful men write it, his words, his commandments, his statutes, his laws, his judgment, his way, so that we would know who God is. We could know as a nation why we get into trouble. We can know as cities and communities and states why we have such terrible things going on and how to change and repent of that. He has recorded his word so that he can call us individually under the new covenant so that we can belong to Jesus Christ as the called and the elect, redeemed, who have received salvation from God. However, God is merciful and kind. He didn't expel them yet. And he went 480 years with the judges. Then we come down to the time of David, who was a man after God's heart. And David obeyed the voice of God. He had one great sin, the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, and that's recorded in the Bible. Otherwise, he was a man after God's heart. And all during the time that David was king, all 12 tribes of Israel kept the holy days, the Sabbaths of God. And David, before he died, was given the plans for the temple. He wanted to build a temple to God because he said, God, I'm living in this house that you have given me to live in, made of cedar, but you dwell in a tent. I want to make a house for you. So God told him, no, David, you can't do it because you're a bloody man, a man of war. But your son shall build a house for me. And that son was Solomon. Very interesting was Solomon. Now, he procured favor of God because he loved God. And he did that which was right. And he did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. And he followed those things which God had commanded. And he was given the blessing of the temple to be able to build it. God gave all the plans to Solomon. Now here is the most perfect setting you could have. There was no war. All 12 tribes of Israel were there. All 12 tribes of Israel followed God and did that which was right when he started. The temple was built in a great ceremony. God put his presence in the temple by the demonstration of a great cloud going right into the temple on the day that it was dedicated during the ceremony that Solomon had set up for the purpose of dedicating the temple. And Solomon gave a great prayer, praying to God, what God would do, how God would intervene, how God would help, how God would make things good and right for the nation. And it was really something what God did. And they had thousands there to keep the Feast of Dedication 7 days and then later the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. But after that prayer of dedication that Solomon gave, fire came down from God and devoured the sacrifice that was there. And you can read that prayer in the book of 1 Kings and in the book of 2 Chronicles. How that if the people of God would turn back to God, he would bless them. How that if they found themselves in trouble and prayed to God, he would hear. Now, here is a good example of a man who had everything. Because there are people who say, I want everything. I want wealth. I want power. I want influence. I want prestige. It was all given to Solomon. And during the first part of Solomon's reign, the people followed God. Solomon followed God. But then he did just like every generation, he forsook God. Now let's come to 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. Let's see what happened to Solomon. And I want you to think about how many people, very similarly, things have happened in their lives. They start out well, and they end up in a disaster. They start out where they were what you would call good men, good leaders, but they ended up with disasters. And it all gets down to this point. They leave God. Now think of this. God made Solomon the wisest man, the richest man. He ruled the world, and they brought him tribute of gold of 666 talents of gold every year. And the kings of the earth came to seek his wisdom and came to learn of God's ways. Then Solomon got lifted up in his own importance. And he began to go against the commandments of God. And he began to celebrate the pagan days that God condemned, though he built the temple. So you see, here's a good example. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. So let's read it. 1 Kings 11. Let's see what happened. And King Solomon loved many foreign women, even the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations which the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not go into them, and they shall not go into you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." But Solomon clung to these in love. And not only just cling to them in love, but look what he did. He turned Jerusalem into a mammoth brothel. Notice, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart because he had to please them instead of pleasing God. Now, how bad did it get? Verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. The things that God said, don't do. He did. So instead of keeping the Passover and holy days of God, what did he do? He began celebrating the holy days in favor of these gods. If you go after them, that means you leave God and you obey these other gods. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully go after the Lord like his father David. Now, as temple builder, he built temples for other gods. He corrupted Jerusalem. If you think the United States is corrupt today, you haven't seen anything. See? And in every case, it is when the leaders and the people leave God. Now, we profess to be a Christian nation, correct? But have we left God? Are we suffering difficulties because of it? Yes. Well, because we've left God and we've thrown away the Sabbath and holy days of God, just exactly as Solomon did here. So let's read it. He went out and did more temple building. Verse 7. Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill which is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives and burned incense and sacrificed to their God. Now, how's your life? Have you gone after other gods? See, because today you need to take care of your life and repent to God. We're not going to change this religious system. We are not going to change this political system. We have got to come out of this world, not dive into it as Solomon did here. Now notice what happened. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and he commanded, saying, "Don't do these things." Yet he did them. So the message came from God. Because you have done these things, I am going to take away the northern 10 tribes of Israel and give them to Jeroboam. And he did. He kept Jerusalem for the sake of David and the temple services that were there, but how many really turned to God? Well, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, did not turn to God. And Jeroboam, the one who was given the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, did even worse. God gave him an opportunity. God said to Jeroboam, look, he sent the prophet who took 10 pieces of cloth and said, these represent the 10 tribes of Israel, and I'm going to give them to you, and if you will obey my voice, I will give you a dynasty like I promised King David. But no, he couldn't trust God. So he was worried that after the kingdom had separated, that if the children of Israel went to Jerusalem to go to the temple services there in Jerusalem, that they would return to Rehoboam and he would lose power. So he thought and said, ha-ha, I have an idea. Let's see what that idea was. And let's see that the very thing that is listed here concerning what Jeroboam did in turning the children of Israel from God to pagan gods, that exact thing happened in the Roman Catholic Church. And it is no more Christian than the idols that fill their cathedrals in St. Peter's Basilica. They did exactly as Rehoboam, turning to the gods of this world, turning to the sun god Balaam, as typified by the golden calf, which between its two horns had the round sun disk. Here's what Jeroboam said. He didn't repent, he didn't pray to God, he didn't consult God's priest or anything like that. He relied on his own thoughts, his own heart, and remember, the heart is deceitful above all things. So here's what he did. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may well return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So he took counsel, and he got absolutely foolish counsel. The king took counsel and made two calves and said to them, I'm going to give you a benefit. It's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold, your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And what was it that Aaron made in Exodus 31 but a golden calf? And so Jeroboam took them back to the golden calf of Egypt. He put one in Bethel and one in Dan. Now notice, verse 30, and this thing became sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even to Dan. And he made houses of worship on the high places and made priests of the lowest people who were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordered a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like that feast that is in Judah, and he offered on the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves he had made. Now these are for our admonition and lessons, you see. What did they forsake? They forsook the feasts of God. Now, what we're going to learn in the next segments is, how then did the kings of Judah, because none of the kings of Israel were righteous, none of them turned to God. That's why the 10 tribes of Israel went off into captivity first. But there were kings of Judah that were faithful, somewhat faithful, zealously faithful, or rebellious. So in the next segments we are going to come to, we're going to see how important the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread really are to God and his people in returning to him under the covenant that God gave to Israel. See, everything that God gives, he gives with a purpose. He gives with meaning. He gives with understanding. He gives with the instruction because God loves us. God loved his people Israel, but God also has to judge them. You cannot have a law which says do this, and if everyone breaks it, that they still get the blessings of obedience. That'll never happen. But that's the way that people are today, is it not? Everyone wants to go his own way, do his own thing, do whatever he wants, and expect the blessings for obeying God while they disobey God, curse him to his face, just shun his Sabbath and holy days, and do their own thing to their own harm. So the question becomes this: what will you do? Will you understand the Word of God? Will you believe the Word of God? Will you turn to God? Now remember, God has given his promise. If we seek, we shall find. If we ask, we shall receive. If we knock, it shall be open. And the first place to begin in anyone's life is to begin by getting on your knees and in your own words and with your own heart and with your own repentance and with your own feelings. Ask God, God, lead me to your truth. God, help me to understand what is right. God, help me in my life. It is full of misery and trouble and upside down and backwards. What am I going to do? Well, just like we're going to see, if you're going to return to God, you have to return to love him and to keep his commandments. You have to return to God through repentance and obedience and doing the word of God. So these are tremendous lessons for us to learn concerning how God thinks of his Sabbath and his holy days and what God thinks of the pagan days of this world. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure to go to our other website, cbcg.org, and there you can have full-length sermons and in-depth teachings that will teach you the Word of God in truth. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.